Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We believe all the Scripture to be inspired of God, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And we are to learn to rightly divide the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And when we do this, we learn that we are not bound by all that is found in the Scripture, because we do not live under the same form of covenants like those that were given to Israel and through Moses and those even before him. We live under Jesus Christ. But that in no way affects our confidence that all the Bible is from God. The Old Testament is of great value to us, even though we're not living under the specifics of that law. We still serve the same God. But we learn in Romans 15:4 that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And again, Paul told the brethren in Corinth, now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. From a study of the Old Testament, we learn many great and everlasting principles of right and wrong in God's dealings with mankind. Now, our present lesson turns back to the passages of the things written aforetime, and we shall concentrate our attention on the Ark of Noah and note many similarities between it and the way that God used it and the church and its importance today in God's scheme of things. Our text, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion that thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door thereof thou shalt set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under the heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, and two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep alive. And thou shalt take unto thee all of food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. This did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Such is the reading of Genesis 6, verses 13 through 22. Here is presented just about everything that we can know about the ark. Generations of men have become so evil that God decided to cleanse the earth of this wickedness. But he was going to preserve Noah and his family by means of the ark. Noah built the ark as God had designed it. Noah was the builder. God was the architect. Noah was a servant of God, a preacher of righteousness, who walked with God and found favor in the eyes of God. God designed the ark just as God wanted it to be. Noah had to follow the plan as God had specified. It was not left to Noah to decide how the ark was to be constructed. God determined how large, how long, how wide, how high, how many stories, what materials, all the measurements, everything. God determined that. The construction of the ark was, however, a joint operation of God and Noah. The ark had but one kind of material, namely gopher wood. Any other kind of wood would have been to change God's plan. Noah did not have the right to add to or take from any direction that God gave. God even specified the kind of wood, and Noah obeyed. Would that all men were as content with God's directions today. The ark had but one source of light, the single window, and we're not informed as to the exact size of that window. But that's immaterial. The point that does matter is that there was but one source of light. And those that were spared from the destruction of wickedness were on the inside of the ark. Those on the outside were destroyed. Scripture says, "And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the earth, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. They were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." Genesis 6, verse 23. I would not doubt that many laughed at Noah while he was building the ark. Doubtless they considered him to be some kind of fanatic. They may have ridiculed him right up to the time that the rains began, and the floods of the deep were opened, and the earth began to be overflowed. But those on the outside of the ark were drowned, and those on the inside were the ones that were spared. Now, if Noah had done everything God told him to do, building the ark exactly as specified, gathering the animals as directed, thinking that God was surely going to keep his word and destroy wickedness, but then had never entered the ark, do you really think he would have survived? Friend, the point is, salvation was on the inside of the ark and nowhere else. Furthermore, the ark had but one door. The only way to enter the ark was through that door. The opportunity for entrance was determined by the Lord, and when time came, it says Jehovah shut him in. God shut the door. He determined when the last one could enter, and just who that would be. Now we want to note some similarities of the ark to the church of Christ. And when we speak of the church, no denomination or anything akin thereto is remotely suggested. There simply is nothing biblical about denominations. Now, Christ is the builder of the church, Matthew 16:16 through 18. And God is the architect of it, Ephesians 3 and verse 10. The church belongs to Christ, and he purchased it with his own blood, Acts 20:28. He died for it, and he's the Savior of it, Ephesians 5, 23 and 25. This is why the church is properly identified as the Church of Christ. Such designates the one to whom it belongs. Paul wrote in Romans 16, 16, "The churches of Christ salute you," referring to various congregations. And since God designed the church, it ought to come as no surprise that the church is also identified as the church of God, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. After all, he determined the government of it, the worship, the terms of entrance, the duties of the members. All such things have been delivered from heaven. Men have unfortunately taken it upon themselves to alter and revise the Lord's church, perverting it into apostasy, and producing the human denominations that only blight the earth today. And we wonder why men, regardless of how sincere, have ever thought themselves empowered to vary the teaching of God and His inspired Word and create for themselves their own churches. Now, the material of the church is people. The church is not made of literal stones and wood, but composed of people, but a very special people. They're the people who have obeyed the gospel, having been cleansed of their sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. They're sanctified by that blood. Peter said, "Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house." 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. The church is the temple, not made with hands. Rather, it is the house of God, the family of God. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Those in the church have been added thereto by the Lord upon their completion of their obedience to the gospel, as was true on Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 47. The church has but one source of light, and that's the Word of God. As David said, "My Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," Psalm 119, verse 105. "The entrance of thy Word giveth light," Psalm 119, verse 130. Paul wrote of the light of the gospel, 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Proverbs 6, 23 says, "For the commandment is a light, and a lamp, and the law is light." Christians are guided by the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. And similar to the ark, the saved are on the inside of the church. Those who are outside the church stand in danger and eternal peril. There is no more salvation outside the church than there was outside the ark. Salvation is in Christ, and all spiritual blessings are in Christ, and there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. But what does that have to do with the church? Why, the church is the body of Christ, Ephesians 1, 22, 23, Colossians 1, 18. There's no such thing as being in Christ but outside of His body. To be in Christ is to be in His church, the company of the saved. You see, that's what the church is. The church is composed of the saved. The false doctrine that one can be saved outside the church has no foundation in Scripture. One can surely be saved outside with denominations. Even denominationalists admit that. He cannot be saved even in these human institutions. There's no salvation therein. Christ is the Savior of the church. Paul wrote, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular," 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. "And our triumph is in Christ," 2 Corinthians 2:14. To be in Christ is to be in the church, and to be in the church is to enjoy victory. Paul said, "For we are members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones," Ephesians 5:30. And this is said in the chapter where it is designed that Jesus saves the body. And the body is the church. Paul said, "So we being many are one body, and all members have not the same office," Romans 12 and verse 5. Those who are Christians are those who are in the church. Christians are not outside the church. They're in the church. If there be Christians outside the church, then they're out from under the head, since Christ is the head of the body, Colossians 1:18. How absurd to contend that one is subject to Christ and be outside of Him, outside of His body, outside of His church. The saved are the church, friend, Acts 2:47. If the world would study and learn about the church from the New Testament, they would discontinue all the teaching that offers salvation on the outside. They would realize that the church is the saved, and the saved make up the church, and we can no more have hope outside the church for our spiritual salvation than Noah could extend hope to those outside the ark for the preservation from the destruction of the flood. And like the ark, the church has but one door, and that door is Jesus Christ. And we go through that door by doing what He has taught us to do to enter into Christ. Do you realize, friend, that there are only two passages of Scripture that teach us the final step that takes us from outside of Christ into Christ? There's faith and repentance and confession, and all of that must precede that final step that each one takes going toward Christ. But it is when one is baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, Romans 6:3-4, that he enters into Christ. Every example of conversion in the book of Acts includes this final step. Nothing is finally accomplished and salvation is not realized until this step is taken. Baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Jesus specified it as a condition of salvation, Mark 16:16. Some people labor so diligently to avoid and dodge the Lord's simple teaching. If they spent that much time and effort in trying to obey as they do in trying to dodge it, they would be far better off, and everything around them would be benefited. Death and sorrow awaited those outside the ark. There was no hope for them. Nothing Noah could do would change their destiny. He preached to them, but they gave no heed, 2 Peter 2 and verse 5. Matthew 24 and verse 39 says, "And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away." And such is the only expectation of those we can read in God's Word concerning those who remain aloof and outside the church of Christ. Someday, friend, God will close the door. Your last opportunity will have come and gone. It may come by death. It may come by the Lord's return. But once the door is shut, Noah was in safety. The rest were in ruin. And so shall it be with us. Won't you seriously consider obeying the gospel and be added to the church? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.